Christians all over the world. Well, we're looking at Luke chapter 15 this morning. And in the first two verses of Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus gives us the setting for the three stories in this chapter. We find that all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them." The Lord Jesus Christ tells three stories: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and tonight we'll see he tells a story about a lost son. Perhaps we should say two lost sons. But the Lord Jesus Christ was having a meal with people who were considered unholy by the religious leaders of his day, sharing a meal with tax collectors and sinners. And the religious leaders then, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were complaining about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ received sinners, that he ate with them. The Pharisees thought he was beneath the station of a prophet of Israel to associate with these kinds of unclean people. And they thought it called into question the character and claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this passage this morning, we'll see several things that are clearly in the mind of the Lord Jesus as he tells these parables. It's very clear that the Lord Jesus is concerned, very concerned, that we should understand the importance and the necessity of repentance. Repentance, that heartfelt turning away from a life of sin based upon yourself and what you want to do in living your life your own way without God, and turning to God for forgiveness and cleansing and new life in Jesus Christ. And on a number of occasions in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes the importance of repentance and God's response to godly repentance. Look at verse 7, for example. Jesus says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." 99 people who think they're fine as they are and see no need to repent. But there'll be joy in heaven, says Jesus, over one sinner who repents. Or verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Tonight we'll be thinking of a prodigal son who returns back to his father. And in that we have a picture of the heart of God and God's response, in the father's response to the son who turns back to him. The son says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Here's his expression now of repentance. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And in that we also see the Lord Jesus Christ then highlighting God's grace in searching for and finding lost sinners. This chapter highlights for us the mercy and love and grace of God. God receives repentant sinners. Thank God for the gospel this morning, that God announces, despite what we deserve, despite what we've done, God receives, God welcomes, God embraces repentant sinners. Aren't you glad for the gospel this morning? But then the Lord Jesus Christ also reveals to us in this chapter the hearts of the Pharisees and the scribes, because their refusal to join in with that heavenly joy proves that they do not know the heart of God. And certainly they did not understand their own need of repentance. And that's a deadly problem for you this morning. If you don't understand your need for repentance, the Lord Jesus Christ will challenge you. God commands all of us, everywhere, all men and women everywhere, to repent, to turn to him. But when we do, this great joy in the gospel, God receives, God welcomes, God embraces repentant sinners. So the first thing I want us to see this morning, Jesus receives repentant sinners. I don't know if you've ever lost something that's important to you, and then you found it again. A time when you rejoiced with your friends when something that was important to you that you thought you'd lost was found. I've done that on a number of occasions because I regularly keep losing things. I regularly lose my keys and my wallet and all sorts of things. I once left my passport on a plane after landing in Lima in Peru, and I thought I'd lost it. And boy, I was so happy when one of the flight attendants came off the plane and said, Mr. Kara, your passport. It was found. Wow, I was so relieved. I think the occasion I remember the most when I thought I'd lost something and I was most relieved is when I was looking after my son's dog called Barney. And I used to take, last thing at night, Barney down to the park here at the bottom of the road at about 10 o'clock at night, just before we would go to bed. And I took Barney down to the park. I took him off the lead, and he just, like an arrow, disappeared into the night, and I didn't know where he'd gone. I think what had happened is he scented a fox, and he started to chase it, and he ran and ran and ran, and there's no way I could keep up with him. And I lost him. I was shouting, Barney, Barney, but I could not find him. Now, some of you have met Barney, and you know Barney thinks that Wendy's his mother. So I thought, if Wendy comes, if she calls for him, perhaps he'll come back. And I was just about giving up finding him, thinking I'll have to go home, get Wendy, get her to come down the park here late at night and call for Barney, when suddenly in a rather bedraggled way, after about 5 or 10 minutes of me searching for him, he turned up. Wow, I was so glad. I thought Wendy would never forgive me if I've lost Barney. So we bought him one of these flashing yellow collars that you can switch on when it's dark. Now if he runs in the night, I know where he is because his collar's flashing in the dark and I can spot where he is. But my guess is all of us at times have lost something that we thought was important, and then if we found it, we rejoiced. It's a common experience in life. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes that common experience and applies it to this very important spiritual issue. The Lord Jesus Christ was being criticized by the Pharisees and scribes for associating with tax collectors and sinners. People they looked down as immoral and unclean, unworthy people. But the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to teach a very important spiritual lesson to the Pharisees, to the scribes, and to us, to you and me this morning. So in the context, the Lord Jesus Christ associating with people who were considered to be the outcasts, and the Pharisees and scribes complaining about him, he tells the two stories we're going to look at this morning, the story of the lost sheep and the story of the lost coin. And it's striking, in both stories, the Lord Jesus Christ makes the main character someone that the Pharisees and scribes wouldn't have approved of. In the first story, it's a shepherd. Now we should understand that Pharisees and scribes would not have thought very highly of shepherds. At that time, shepherds were regarded as dangerous people, notorious liars, unreliable. The testimony of a shepherd wasn't allowed in court. So the Pharisees certainly wouldn't have looked up to a shepherd. And then in the second story, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of a woman who'd lost a silver coin. And apparently, the 10 silver coins that she had were her dowry. A dowry is a payment made in some cultures by the bridegroom, either to the bride herself or to the bride's family at a time of a marriage. I was once in Lokichokio in Kenya. Some of you know I used to go there to teach. And one day there was a massive party going on in the village. All sorts of festivities, and I wondered what was going on. So I went out to find out what was the reason for the rejoicing. And what had happened is a very rich man had paid a very big dowry. One of the young women in the village was getting married to him. And part of this big dowry that he paid, he'd given 100 goats to the family of this young woman. And they'd killed some of them, and they were having a big party, and all the village was rejoicing. Well, in our passage this morning, these 10 silver coins would not have been a very large dowry. So we can assume this was a relatively poor woman. If the man she married had been from a rich background, he would have probably had to pay a much more substantial dowry. So for this woman to lose one of the 10 coins of her dowry was a significant issue for her. Losing one of these 10 silver coins was a big deal. And again, we can be sure the Pharisees and scribes then, like they wouldn't have thought much of a shepherd, they wouldn't have thought much of a poor woman. But the Lord Jesus Christ makes those two characters, a shepherd and a poor woman, the central characters in his stories. And he holds them up before the scribes and Pharisees to show them that he came not to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he was telling the Pharisees and scribes that they were lost men. I don't know if you've ever seen yourself as lost, spiritually lost. In the stories that Jesus told, a shepherd had 100 sheep. One wandered away and got lost. There was a woman who had 10 silver coins, and she lost one of her silver coins. But spiritually, have you ever seen yourself as lost? A lost sheep, a lost coin. The sheep was lost. The silver coin was lost. Jesus was talking to people. Jesus knew, he knew that the people he was talking to were lost. Tax collectors, lost. Sinners, lost. Pharisees, lost. Scribes, teachers of the law, lost. You and me, as we are born into this world, spiritually lost. And when you're lost, where do you go? Do you go north, south, west, east? You don't know where to go. You're lost. You might trust your own hunch. You might set out in one direction. But it could be the wrong way. Millions do that. They see others on a broad path and they join them. But actually it's a broad path that leads to destruction. They're lost. And you may go onto that broad path and chat and joke with your fellow travelers. And it may help to deaden the pain. But you're still a lost person. And when you're lost, you're concerned. No one enjoys being lost. It's a state of danger. You're vulnerable. You have to approach people and ask them for help. Can you trust them? Are they genuine? You're weak. You're helpless. You're in danger. You're lost. What does a lost sheep do if a wolf comes? What can a lost coin do? Nothing. You know, I've just come back from holiday, and on holiday in Barbados, I thought I'd lost Wendy once. We went to a shopping centre. And it was a large place, but I could get Wi-Fi there. So I said to Wendy, I'll sit here for a moment. I just want to check a few things using my phone for Wi-Fi. You do a bit of shopping, come back in a little while, and I'll be here on this seat. Now, that was a very dangerous thing to do. Because I was there, I thought, for absolutely ages, and Wendy didn't come back. And I thought, she's lost. She's gone out to the shopping mall, or she's gone back to the ship, she's gone somewhere, but she's lost. And I got more and more agitated because she didn't come back. So in the shopping mall, there was a police woman. I went up to the police woman. I said, can you put an announcement over the tannoy? My wife is lost. I know where she is. Announce that she should come to where you are with me here and I'll find her again. Make an announcement. She said, I can't. The tannoy is broken. I said, well, how am I going to find her? The lady, police woman, smiled at me. Sir, she said, your husband's in the... she said, I know you're agitated, but your wife's in the shopping mall. She's shopping. She's not lost. I said, she's lost. She's been gone ages. Felt like an hour. She's been gone a long time. She'll never be... She's lost. No, she said, she's in the shopping mall somewhere. Go back to where you were sitting down. I went back to her sitting down. 5 minutes later, along comes Wendy. She wasn't lost. I said, where have you been? She said, I went shopping. I've been shopping. She hadn't bought anything, but she'd been... It was ages. I thought she was lost. I got very concerned. When you're lost, you're concerned. What are you going to do if you move in the wrong direction? You might get even more lost. Now, it's the state of people without God, Jesus is saying. They don't know the God who made them in his image. People who don't know the purpose of life, don't know forgiveness, don't know acceptance before God. They're as lost as this lost sheep, as lost as this lost coin. And in this chapter then, Jesus is teaching us a very important lesson. God receives repentant sinners. When you're lost and you turn back to God, the lost are found because God receives them, welcomes them, cleanses them, forgives them. Verse 2 here tells us, the Pharisees' complaint, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They meant that as an insult. But actually, it's true. Jesus receives sinners. Aren't you glad this morning? Jesus receives sinners. I have to tell you, this church does not allow good people to join it. No. We receive sinners. It's a very important question for you to answer this morning. Do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God? The Pharisees and scribes looked down on the tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was meeting them and they were drawing near to him. But they didn't look at themselves as unworthy. They certainly did not look upon themselves as sinners. They thought of themselves as righteous. But the Lord Jesus Christ is stressing here that God receives, he receives sinners. It's vital we understand that. It's why I began telling the story earlier on about John Duncan, who was a professor of Hebrew and Old Testament at the New College, as it was called, in Edinburgh University. He was a brilliant man, but as a college student, he was an atheist. He'd grown up in a Christian home, but he'd come to even not believe in the existence of God. And then one day, as he was listening to one of his college professors, light began to dawn in his mind about the truth of the existence of God. And John Duncan says that he danced with joy on the bridge of Dee in Aberdeen when he realized there is a God. Now, at that time he knew, although there is a God, if God were to call him to account and he were to stand before that God, he would have been pronounced guilty in the sight of a holy God. But he first came to understand there is a God. And then the Holy Spirit opened John Duncan's heart. And John Duncan put his faith in Jesus Christ alone for all his acceptance before God. But he had many struggles feeling the assurance of God's love for him, especially for his past life and that time when he turned away from God in his atheistic unbelief. So he came to Luke chapter 15. And as he read these parables of Jesus, he came up with this, what I've termed a syllogism, a way of thinking. I explained it earlier on. All tulips are flowers. This is a tulip. Therefore, this tulip is a flower. Here's John Duncan's syllogism. God receives repentant sinners. He learnt it from the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. God receives repentant sinners. Jesus' words, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Ah, said John Duncan, God receives repentant sinners. John Duncan is a repentant sinner. Therefore, God will receive John Duncan. And he threw himself on the grace of God. John Duncan grasped the truth. God receives sinners, not those who've first cleaned their lives up, not those who think that they can make it on their own, not those who are self-righteous, but those who are repentant, those who throw themselves entirely on the grace and love and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Have you seen yourself as a sinner this morning? And are you a repentant sinner? If you run in faith to Jesus Christ, the Bible tells you God will certainly receive you, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. That spiritual logic is absolutely true. We see it in these parables of Jesus. It's irresistible. But the beauty of it depends on you recognizing and admitting that you're a sinner. Jesus receives repentant sinners. The second thing we see here is that repentant sinners draw near to Jesus. What were the tax collectors and sinners doing in verse 1? Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. Men and women are lost, but God seeks the lost. That again is the glorious message of these parables. We are lost people, but God does not just give up on us. Why did Jesus come into the world? He tells us very clearly to seek and to save that which was lost. So we have to be clear and comfortably clear about this. The sheep that was lost had strayed away. The coin had no ability to search for its owner. Neither the lost sheep nor the lost coin were able to do anything to be found in themselves. There was a shepherd who sought. There was a woman who searched. What is Jesus saying? He's saying the Lord God Almighty seeks. We find that in these two parables. They speak of God seeking us. God seeking you here this morning in Kensett Evangelical Church. God seeking you if you're listening over the live stream. That through the preaching of the gospel in the word of God, there is forgiveness for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God provides ample evidence that he seeks you. So I'm saying this morning, you don't have to go on some worldwide search for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not someone you have to search for as if he was hidden away somewhere in some mysterious place. In a cave in the Himalayas that you have to travel to Nepal. Or some distant island somewhere, or some remote temple in India. No, says the Bible. God seeks. And in the word of God this morning, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, God seeks. But if you look at verse 2, what are the scribes and Pharisees doing? They weren't drawing near to Jesus to hear him. They were complaining. The Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And it's clear from verse 7, the Pharisees and scribes thought of themselves as righteous in themselves. The Pharisees and scribes did not draw near to Jesus to hear him because they did not think that they needed him. The Lord Jesus Christ says here that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than 99 just persons who feel no need for repentance. So there are people in the world, there are people in this congregation this morning, there are people listening who don't think they need to repent because they think they are righteous, they are fine as they are. And the result is they see no need of Jesus. Why don't they repent? They don't think they need to. So the Lord Jesus Christ is illustrating here a very serious spiritual problem. The good news is not good news until you first understand the bad news. The bad news is that you're a sinner and you must feel that need of forgiveness. In this passage, it's clear the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus to hear him because they understood their need. They needed forgiveness. They longed for what only Jesus Christ could give them. Forgiveness before God through his righteous life and his death on the cross. It was the tax collectors and sinners who were hanging on every word of Jesus, but not the Pharisees, not the scribes. They were not listening to Jesus because they didn't understand or feel their need. The assumption of the Pharisees was they were righteous, that God approved of them. And that fatal error was keeping them from Jesus and from salvation because they didn't think they needed a searching God. They didn't imagine themselves to be lost. They had no thought of a Redeemer who'd come into this world to die in their place and to save them from their sins. They were lost and they didn't know it. And no one perhaps is as lost as the person who's lost but doesn't know it. Has no sense of the holiness of God. Has no sense of the terrible furnace of divine justice. Has no sense of the immensity of their own sinfulness. Has no sense of the yawning chasm between themselves and a holy God. You see, we are living in a culture where we've become masters at excusing sin, blaming it on others. Even airbrushing it out of existence. The result is, I wonder if there's ever been a society on the face of the earth as self-righteous as the one that you and I now live in. Revoltingly self-righteous. We look down on others, but we are blind to our own faults. We congratulate ourselves on our moral goodness, in defiance of our lack of moral goodness. Let me give you a few examples. So surveys report 94% of people think of themselves as above average in honesty. So we are a nation of liars, and we are especially liars about ourselves. 94% say we are above average compared to other people. We've become a nation of past masters at blaming others. We live in a society where the gods of people are money and pleasure, and fewer come to worship God or give him thanks. But we take it as a matter of course, we are morally good. We are a self-congratulating people. We are good people. When it is clear and obvious in the light of the Bible that that is totally untrue. But we do not concern ourselves about our sins. And that was what was happening with the Pharisees and the scribes. That's why the Pharisees and scribes had no interest in what Jesus was saying. They didn't see their need. It was the tax collectors and sinners who knew only too well that they were lost and they needed God to find them. So I'm saying this morning, do you understand your need? Do you draw near to Jesus this morning? Do you run to him in repentance and faith? Jesus receives repentant sinners. Repentant sinners draw near to Jesus. Have you drawn near to Jesus in faith this morning? Trusting in him alone for all your righteousness and acceptance before God. Then there's a third thing in this passage. Heaven rejoices over repentant sinners. So Jesus receives repentant sinners draw near to Jesus, heaven rejoices over repentant sinners. I say to you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance, says Jesus. And then this verse, which has struck me again this last week, Verse 10, Jesus says, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Who is in the presence of the angels of God? Joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who is in the presence of the angels of God? Surely this is speaking of God himself. Isn't Jesus here telling us about the attitude of a loving Heavenly Father towards those who repent? That when you understand your sin, when you understand who you really are, when you turn to away from yourself and to God in faith through Jesus Christ, one of the things that many people fear is, if I turn to God, will God accept me? If you turn to God this morning, will God accept you? So Jesus now describes and displays the lavish love of God for repentant sinners. That finding a repentant sinner gives God great joy. The shepherd returned home rejoicing. He didn't return home grumbling about the sheep that had given him so much trouble. He didn't go home grumbling, saying, stupid sheep. No, he went home carrying that sheep, rejoicing. It thrilled him. The sheep that was lost was found. It was worth all the searching. Every step of the way home, though he was carrying the sheep on his shoulders, he carried it safely home, rejoicing. When he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. The woman, she rejoiced, and she found the coin. She told all her friends and neighbors, I found the silver coin I lost. So Jesus discloses this astonishing fact. There is rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. If you repent this morning, there is joy in heaven. You see what devastation there comes from refusing to accept that you're a sinner and that you need forgiveness, refusing to turn to God in repentance. On December the 10th, 2008, a man called Bernie Madoff called his two sons to his office and he told them that the massive fortune that he'd made and that he'd shared with them was all based on a lie. It was not brought about by his brilliant financial planning, but through an elaborate, what's called a Ponzi scheme. A scheme whereby he took money off people and he fraudulently made out that he was making lots of more money with it, but actually he was just distributing money that more and more people were giving to him. Eventually he was arrested. Over 17 years he defrauded thousands of people out of tens of billions of dollars. He ruined fortunes, he ruined his reputation. He was eventually sentenced to 150 years in jail for his crimes. But Bernie Madoff, he wasn't repentant. And the devastation continued. On the second year anniversary of his arrest, his son, Mark, took his own life. He woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He texted his wife, Stephanie, who was on holiday with their daughter in Disney World. His younger son was sleeping in another bedroom. He hung himself with the leash of the family dog. And by the time his father-in-law arrived, he'd been alerted by the wife. He was dead. Mark had attempted suicide on an earlier occasion, and he'd left a suicide note. Now you know how you have destroyed the lives of your sons by your life of deceit, he had written to his father. But still, Bernie Madoff was unrepentant. He died in prison last year, 82 years old. It's a graphic example who brought someone who brought devastation to his own life and to others in his family by his refusal to face up to what he'd done. But you see, if that brings devastation in this world, Jesus is saying, but what about the world to come? What happens to those who are unrepentant in the world to come? If that unrepentance is devastating in this world, the eternal devastation of being lost under God's just condemnation forever in the world to come. But you see, there are those who fear the humiliation of admitting before God what they've done. So Jesus says, look, there is rejoicing in heaven over repentant sinners. And Jesus tells us to encourage us to confess our sins as we come to God, throwing ourselves on his grace and mercy and forgiveness. Look, says Jesus, like the shepherd rejoiced, like the woman who found the coin rejoiced. There's rejoicing in heaven when someone repents. So there's an open door before us this morning in the gospel. A free pardon, forgiveness from God awaits all those who repent. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the world and our society may mock at your repentance. But Jesus is saying, while the world is mocking, the world may mock, heaven rejoices. The world may mock, heaven rejoices, says Jesus. So that spiritual concern presses on us. Yes, this world may mock, but there are people in this room, people who are listening online, they've repented and they've been found and heaven rejoiced. But there are those who have not repented and so are not found. Jesus is saying this morning, don't be numbered among the lost. God receives repentant sinners. Be numbered under those who turn to God, and God rejoices and finds and cleanses and pardons. That's Jesus' word to you and to me this morning. God's mercy, his grace, his forgiveness extends to you in the gospel. Don't be an unrepentant sinner. Turn to God and he will welcome you. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. We thank you this morning for the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that God receives and welcomes and pardons and cleanses repentant sinners and turns away none who come to him through Jesus Christ. So we come to you, Lord, each one of us, confessing our sins, but praising you that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins, they are many. Your mercy is more. And so receive our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing as a closing hymn this morning, that hymn, Our Sins, They Are Many, His Mercy Is More. And as the music starts, let's stand and sing together. pray together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people, not only today, but even forevermore, world without end. Amen.